Good morning and welcome to a special edition of ASI's radio show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Legos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and indeed this is a special virtual trade show edition of ASI's radio show. We have two marketing gurus here from ASI, Jake Kralik and Colin Graff. Jake, tell us what the virtual trade show is all about.
Well, that's a good question, Melinda. Today's virtual trade show is all about meeting new suppliers and getting to know the industry. We've got great education. We've got over 27 people here exhibiting. And the show goes from 10 to 3 today, and you can find new products. You can learn some new techniques. You can learn anything
you want. There's education?
There's over 40 education classes.
And there's a networking lounge with which Kathy is already chatting in, apparently.
Uh-huh. She's been in there before.
All right, Jake, if you've never attended a virtual trade show with ASI before, how do you get started?
It's easy. You just go to www.asicentral.com/VTS. You can register and log in for free. It runs all day today from 10 to 3, and then there's an on-demand period for a few weeks. Very easy. Just visit that website, www.asicentral.com/VTS.
And we're expecting this to be ASI's biggest trade,
the largest
trade show
one yet.
Today. We have 27 exhibitors.
27.
Lots of great people to meet. And I understand that you right now have been chatting with some of the exhibitors. Is that right?
I have. They're busy. We've got over 400 people in the booths already. And this show's only been open for about 27 minutes.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, it's great.
All right. Well, Colin, as our marketing guru here at ASI, what are some tips for effectively attending a virtual trade show? What can you do to really make the most of it?
Yes, well, thank you, Melinda. I have three main tips. First, you want a game plan. You want to know what suppliers are your must-sees versus which suppliers are your nice-to-sees. Like Jake said, there are 27 exhibitors, so it's a very large show, 13 of which are brand new exhibitors. Second, you want to fill your briefcase with as many documents as the suppliers offer. You can download this later on and refer to this in the future. Third, make sure you interact via chat with the suppliers. That's a way to gain more knowledge on their services.
And, Michelle, it looks like you're already doing that.
I am. I'm on a couple booths simultaneously, American Ad Bag and the Crazy Putty World booth.
And that's really called Crazy Putty World?
It is.
And they sell
Crazy Putty.
Creatively enough, they sell
crazy
Putty.
All right, sorry, Colin.
No problem. And I just have one bonus tip. Use the restroom before you log in. It's a long and very large show.
isn't that the benefit of attending a virtual trade show? You can take care of, personal business, and you can
even attend
log
while you're
in and log off.
On the toilet.
Although not recommended.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
Fantastic. All right. Now we'll segue to you, Kathy. You've been chatting with people in the lounge. What are you finding out? Why are people coming to the show today?
Well, they want to meet new suppliers. They want to see what's out there for their holiday gift ideas and things like that. They're all excited. For some people, it's their first time, so they're really revved up and ready to go.
All right. Well, we'll check. You're going to keep chatting, and we'll check in with you a little bit later. In the meantime, Michelle Bell here is editor of Supplier Global. I know you've been online chatting with exhibitors, Michelle, but let's talk about customer service management for a while. It's an important buzzword in business. How do companies find out if their business needs it?
Well, most businesses need it. And, it can be a little bit creepy because it may seem like a huge invasion of privacy because it really tracks every single aspect of what clients are doing for you. But on the upside, it helps business owners organize information to maximize new leads. It generates repeat sales. It improves customer service. It cut costs. It integrates information. Obviously, I could go on and on, but this is really why it's such an important thing for every business. A lot of businesses, especially small companies, kind of shy away from it because of the cost. But it really does promote a lot of ROI at the end of the day. Some things you want to keep in mind, though, you want to go in with a set of goals on what you want the system to be able to provide for you. There are different levels of CRM, customer relationship management. You can have systems tailored just to your company. You can have an overall system that can grow with your company as it gains more sales. But you really want to know, kind of like with any promotion, you want to know what your goals are, what you want to achieve in the long run and the short term. And it just can really be helpful, especially for a small company, if they're willing to invest just a little bit of resources for the long run. And we'll put lots of specifics on our website at asicentral.com/radio.
All right, thanks, Michelle. We're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, I Promote You. When we return, we're going to tap Colin's mind a little bit.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities at iPromoteU.com.
We're back at ASI's special edition Tuesday morning show, which is actually on Wednesday morning because right now we're hosting our biggest virtual trade show ever. Be sure to check it out. It's going on right now. But we're going to turn to Colin Graff, our marketing guru, for a few minutes. Colin, how do you know if it's time for your to give your business a tune-up?
Well, just like a car, you need to get your business checked out to make sure it's performing at maximum efficiency. Three things you can do. What's your reputation with your client base? Check in with former clients. Are you delivering what you're promising? And what are their current needs and how can you help? Second, is your messaging still resonating with your target audience? The needs of your target audience may have changed. You have to make adjustments. And third, are you using the right vehicles and getting exposure in the right places? Is social media the right place for you? Email marketing, events, direct mail? You need to be where your market is at.
And how do you find out if you are, you know, continuing to meet the needs of your customers or if they've changed?
You've got a lot of different ways. I mean, you want to communicate. I mean, communication is the biggest thing. Ask them, you know, how are you doing? Are we doing enough for you? Are we making you happy? Are we filling your needs? You know, that's a big deal. Communicate.
All right. Thanks.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to a supplier yesterday who he told me that he was so kind of dazzled by the bandwagon of social media and social networking and promoting his company that way that he basically stopped doing all sorts of traditional marketing and went the electronic way. And while it did work for him, he found out that when he was using, you know, print marketing and print advertising, it's not that it didn't work for him. It's just that he was so enamored of new ways to do it. And he has what he's done is come back to kind of like a 50-50 mm-hmm. way to do it. He's, you know, promotes online and still does traditional because it's not that traditional didn't work for him. Mm-hmm. It's just that he was kind of, you know, entranced by this mm-hmm. new social media. So I think you have to just figure out what works for you.
Right, and what works for your clients.
And be personal.
Yeah. And you can get really sucked into the social media. You can spend hours a day on social media and completely ignore the other aspects that were successful for your business in the past.
All right. Well, yesterday on the show, we talked a lot about cash flow and putting more money in the bank. And Joe's going to give us some tips this morning on proven ways to increase your company's cash flow.
Yeah,
Joe, I think we all want to know those.
Yes, of course. This is according to Entrepreneur Magazine. They say with small business, the problem really isn't sales volume. It's the cash flow, that money's not there when you need it. So they offer seven tips. I'm going to give you three of them, but we'll post the entire article on asicentral.com/radio. The first one is pay your bills when they're due, not beforehand, because that gives you more opportunity to get money in from your clients. Don't, you know, pay – if you don't have to pay – your vendors up front, don't pay them up front. Wait until it's due. So if you're getting net 30 or net 60, pay it when it's due. Get better terms if you can. Talk to your banks, talk to your vendors, talk to whoever you're working with. Can you get better terms than what you're currently being offered? That'll help also spread out your cash flow problems. And also be picky about who you offer credit to. So if you're working with a first-time client, if you're a distributor, and you're not too sure about them, ask them for 50% up front. Ask them for some of that money up front.
I would say that for all clients, not just ones that new. You know, I mean, 50% I think is becoming the new standard. Yeah. 50% up front.
And it's interesting in this industry that too often people don't do that or are afraid to ask their clients for money up front. But so many other different businesses require that. We're having a new roof put on our house. We had to pay 50% up front or they couldn't start the job. So I don't see why that's such a terrible thing to do, to ask your clients for money up front.
Yeah, we always talk about that. It doesn't make sense. Every other business does it.
Right. So, you know, we have to start doing that now in this industry. I'm laying down the law right now today.
Well,
all right, you heard it here on the ASI.
There's also Credit Connect that people can use too.
That's true. But the rest of these tips will be on our website later today.
All right, you can check that out on asicentral.com/radio. You know, one other tip, and I know we've talked about this on the show before, is you know, to get people to pay their bills on time, your customers. You can offer incentives, mm-hmm. Which we've talked about, and also, you know, reminding them before the bill is due, because a lot of times what will happen is you'll wait till the bill's due, they didn't pay it, and then call them to bother them. If you give them a courtesy call right before it's due, then it eliminates any excuses like, oh, I didn't get the bill, can you send that to me again? So, you know, start asking for the money before it's due, and we find a lot of distributors have had success with that. All right. Reward travel, incentive travel. Kathy, is it back?
It's back.
Yay. Yeah.
According to Marriott's Travel, a meeting management company, it's probably 85 to 90% back. You know, like 3 years ago when the recession was looming and companies were spending lavishly on the employees and, you know, their bigwigs. That didn't go over too well, so incentive travel was slashed across the board. But now it's back, and it's better than ever. And some companies actually say that they kept rewarding their employees with travel incentives because it was a relatively small portion of their budget, but it really made an impact on employee morale. So some tips for these days is free trips for the family, rubbing elbows with top executives and bragging rights have always been touted as the selling points for incentive travel. So keep that up. But these days, companies are doing more local travel, like staying in the USA, and employees can fly coach. They're not necessarily, you know, flying first class and lavish expenses like that. But it is a big motivator, and it's back and better than ever. So get with all your corporate clients and, you know, tell them what you can do for their incentive travel.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about all those opportunities, because mm-hmm. there's opportunities before the
exactly
trip to
right.
promote it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going, you know, whatever, you usually have a big party to announce the incentive trip to the destination.
Right.
You're going to want to have, you know, items there that remind them of mm-hmm. the trip.
And then there's and always then the award ceremony, so you
correct.
Provide the awards for them.
Pillow gifts on site.
Pillow gifts, definitely. Usually, you know, I go a lot with Steve on these incentive trips. And
who's
when
Steve?
My husband. My sales guy husband. And when you check in, they give you a big goodie bag full of stuff with all logos, like President's Club. Everything's logoed. And,
yep. They've got shirts they want you to wear.
Right. So, yeah, it does definitely give you bragging rights and things like that, and it makes you feel part of a elite group.
Sure. And then even when you return, there's usually a mm-hmm. gift, whether it's, you know, a digital frame with photos
right.
from the trip,
for the
or
memories.
Something
yep.
to help people mm-hmm. remember the great time they had.
That's right.
So there's
loads of opportunities for distributors, definitely.
All right. Well, let's talk again with Colin. We've been talking a little bit about marketing this morning, and he's going to tell us how great emails are the key to increasing sales. How can you make your emails better, Colin?
Well, it all starts with attention, interest, desire, and action. That's the essentials to any good or great email marketing campaign. And it starts with the subject line. The subject line gains the attention. You want to treat this like a newspaper headline. Personalize it when possible. And I'm not talking about just name or company, you know, maybe with the industry they're in, that type of thing. And put a little urgency into it. Make them want to open that email. Next is your intro. And in the intro, this is where you capture the attention of your audience and build a sense of interest or mystery. Nothing too pushy, but something more conversational to get them to read further. Then next is content. You want to make it easy to talk about your products and how great they are, but you really should be focusing on the audience's problems and how using your products can solve their problems. And finally is the call to action. The call to action, you want to clearly state what you want the reader to do. Nothing confusing. Click here. That type of thing usually works best.
Colin, I got a few extra things we can throw in too. Okay. I mean, we learn almost every day that, like, keep your emails when you build them. You can try a few different things, but keep them above the fold. You know, like, don't make people scroll down to get to that point of action. Mm-hmm. Also, you want to try to do, you know, think about everyone's on their smartphone. So a lot of times you may want to go with a text-only email or an email that has text that's on the left-hand side and the image on the right-hand side for it to come up. Colin has also been mm-hmm. testing when he's done subject lines, and different from what I do. I do maybe a long form subject line with a call to action in it. Colin's subject lines are a little bit more sneaky, and they get you with a short
sneaky.
Form.
Sneaky Colin. What's an example
well,
of a sneaky
one,
line?
One that I've been having a lot of success with right now is you're invited.
Oh. And that's it.
That's it. You're like, ooh, what am I invited to?
I don't know. What am I?
I don't fall for those tricks.
Or RSVP now.
No, I would open a thing that says you're invited. From so, Colin,
absolutely.
I would. Definitely.
Now, here's a question. We get two of the marketing gurus in here, and we get a lot of press releases, emails sent to us. Some of them, the subject line will have the RE to make it look like they are they're responding to something that you sent them. Hmm. And the other one they'll do is the FW to look like they are forwarding someone.
Hate those too.
What do you think?
However, I do open them.
I hate them. I delete them. What do you think?
I have an opinion that I think everything should be tried at least once. But there needs to be a nice balance of what you do. And if you use that too many times, it's not effective. So balance it out, and you can get away with it.
I find it to be disingenuous.
I personally do not like them.
People don't want to be tricked. I mean, it's one thing to put something provocative like you're invited.
Correct.
And then I'm sure you're inviting them to do something.
Buy.
To purchase. Yes. But, the other one just seems a little blatantly tricky to me. But yeah. Perhaps it's
what do you think is the best subject line that you've ever read?
Jake, you've won $1 million. Open me.
Did it really happen?
No, I always like the really personalized lines that tell me what I need. Like, and I do it myself. The ones that say first name, my name, Jake, your secret to great email. Click inside. Something like that gives me a point of action that puts my name in there and it gives me something enticing. Usually I like sunglass deal or skis on sale or something shopping.
40% off for the next 3 hours at Banana Republic. I always open those.
And those subject lines tell you exactly what you're walking
right.
into. And those are great. And I like using company name because everyone's using first name right now. So using company name is like, oh, they know more about me than just my first name.
Okay, now I have another question about the body of these things. Sometimes we get them with a link to a website, and the link doesn't work.
Well, that's just a classic no-no, isn't it?
Is that something you should be testing prior to sending your thing out to make sure everything works?
Yeah.
Well, why aren't people doing it then? It's annoying.
The occasional things slide by, but... Yeah, it should work.
You know what I think works really well? So there's some suppliers in the industry that have started sending out emails, self-promo emails about sales, but in the subject line it says breaking news, and that always gets my attention.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
I think that they're announcing, that they're buying somebody or that they're, that they've
that's
hired
a, really
a new
one.
VP, but
absolutely.
I think that that's a great way to do it. Everybody always wants the latest news.
Yeah.
So I'm in some exhibitors' booths, and you know what's interesting? As we were just talking about planning ahead for incentive travel, it's striking to me that more so than a lot of other virtual trade shows that we've done, people are asking the exhibitors specific questions about specific promos. So they really have a lot of promotions in mind. They're not just, kind of general ideas, show me what's new, send me your catalog. They're going in and asking, for specific, I'm doing a promotion for a client next month who's doing a trade show. So, obviously there's a lot of business in the pipeline.
I noticed that at ASI Chicago in July this year. I talked to several people who had specific corporate gift programs they were looking to. We're always telling people to, start selling corporate gifts earlier. But they were actually doing it and not just asking what's new, but they had very specific things in mind. Like last year, my client did these things. Mm-hmm. This year, they're looking for X. And I think, I think it's a good sign of the health of the economy.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well, that things are improving.
You'll all be happy to know that things in Crazy Aaron's Putty World are going well.
And
my favorite booth.
What do they do with this putty?
Crazy Aaron's Putty World.
So I'm thinking it's like silly putty in customizable tins, but I want to see the putty. Is the putty logoed?
No.
Okay.
But it's big.
Well, you should ask Aaron.
Well,
they
use it a lot for brainstorming sessions. They suggest that you sell it for brainstorming sessions, stress relief, blah, blah, blah.
Is this the putty cat that also changes color that is thermoreactive?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like mood
could get it like that.
Yeah.
Maybe we could have some for our own...
We've had
like
editorial
some.
We've had some. I don't know what happened to it.
Bring some to the retreat.
Blacklist.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Maybe that'll help you come up with some good ideas.
The booths are busy. I stopped by Birchcraft's booth and Marvel Press. George at Marvel Press is swamped. And Sue from Birchcraft is having a great show so far. So.
And Kath, are you still on the really networking good. Lounge, or have you moved on to other areas?
No, I'm in and out of the networking lounge. I know some people, one particular person named Mary, she's looking for something to spice up the holiday gift season. And I suggest going to ICA Gourmet Seasonings. It's right there.
You get spices.
You're
go
brilliant.
Right there.
Or,
I thought you were going to say spice up
or nuding
else.
Or nuding, nuding farms.
Or, yeah. Hmm? Why is it called nuding?
I don't know, but when I was doing their video, I had to... I had to find out.
Get
so
naked.
So I called them to hear what they said, how they pronounced it, and that's how they pronounce
That's how they pronounce it. Uh-huh. What do they sell?
Oh, wait, and Karen Coates just came in and is listening right now to the radio show and wants us to do a shout-out for the team working on the virtual trade show. So there's
shout-out. We've got a whole war room here at ASI that works very hard during the whole virtual trade show.
And today is even crazier than normal. It's packed in there.
How many people?
There's probably 10 people in there today.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring them all pizza for lunch. Good
are
job,
you
really?
Jake.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Kralik.
Thank you, Jake.
Well, you are so generous.
JK.
All right, moving on. Joe, I hope you don't have a boss who plays favorites, but you're going to have some.
No comment.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
You're going to have some. You've got some tips to what to do when you have a boss who do have, you know, favorites in the office.
Yeah, this is according to the business section of MSNBC, and they say, yes, that people do get promoted because there is favoritism in the workplace, and they did a study that showed some of the findings, which was 92% have seen favoritism at play in employee promotions. Hmm. And this study was run by Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. 84% have seen it at their own companies of the people who surveyed. 23% they practice favoritism themselves. Now, it's not, you know, being positioned as such a bad thing. There's a reason why some employees are seen as favorites, and we're going to tell everyone how you can be your boss's favorite if you're not already. So pay attention, Kathy.
She's already a favorite.
Some other study findings, I want to go through these quick. 29% said that their most recent promotion considered only one candidate. So if there's five people up for the job, there's only one who was being considered for that. 56% said that when more than one candidate was considered, they already knew who they wanted to promote before deliberations. And 96% reported promoting the pre-selected individual. So, how do you become the favorite, Jake?
Jake's a favorite.
Well, no.
I'm not a favorite.
No, these are actually, laugh.
These are actually good, you know, tips for any employee. One, be the best at any let me do that again. Be the best at some aspect of your job. That in the whole entire workplace, your whole entire department, you are the best at whatever it is. Constantly improve in this area. Don't rest on your laurels. Think that, oh, I can't improve. I'm the best at this. I'm not going to get any better. Be 100% reliable. Never commit to a deadline you can't keep or task you won't be able to do.
Michelle laughed at the deadline.
can't keep any deadline.
Is that the area you most excel in?
No deadline.
Okay. So in other words, be reliable. The boss is going to love you if you can be reliable. Become a source of advice and wisdom for others. So
that's
in other words,
the Joe Show.
Thank you, Jake. Did you hear that, Melinda?
I gotcha. What did he say, the Joel Show?
Okay, so in other words, if you get newer employees that are coming on board, you know, be that go-to person where you can kind of guide them along the first couple weeks or months of their employment. And educate others in what you're best at. Make sure you toot your own horn and let, you know, them know, hey, look, this is what I'm really good at.
But don't be like a big braggart.
No.
Wow.
I hate that.
She gave you a dirty look.
Nobody likes a big bragger.
No.
But that's all good advice. I mean, you know, as a boss, Jake, aren't these the type of people that you would want, you know, to work for you? Have those qualities?
Yes, those are the type of people I would like to work for me.
Well, sure, they're reliable. They're very good at that, you know, something of their job. You know, they give advice to others.
These are all really good qualities, okay. Joe. I like them.
Fantastic. We're going to put those up on our website at asicentral.com/radio. We've been talking a lot about marketing this morning while our big ASI virtual trade show is going on. And we're going to talk to Jake a little bit now about how sales can get better leads from marketing.
I mean,
it's something salespeople always probably complain about, right?
It's always
like,
the challenge.
Oh, you give us, you know.
Well, we also, in marketing, we complain about sales, too. And say,
no, I realize there's a.
We do an editorial, too. Yeah.
What advice would you give to salespeople who want better leads?
That's good. I'm looking at these, and I'm looking at what they wrote down, and I agree with them. I just don't agree in the order, so I'm going to reorder them and say that I think the first thing, the biggest thing, is that you communicate with your sales team. You need, I feel you need daily communication with them. Some people feel it's weekly, but you got to keep communication lines open. And when things start to go foul, make sure you make amends. You know, we're only at work. Don't let, you know, the stuff that you don't like interfere with your daily job. Align your departments. Make sure that the metrics with your groups are aligned so that everyone has the same performance indicators. You don't have a sales team that's shooting for a goal and a marketing team that's shooting for a completely different goal. when you you want to travel together. I think that some of the most
so you should take, you know, your favorite sales rep to Hawaii.
No, but your favorite sales rep should be taking the marketing.
You to Hawaii,
absolutely.
The marketing, yeah, yes.
On sales calls, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
meetings with clients.
Go, you know, sales teams, take your marketing people with you on the sales call. So this is great. You know, it also presents to the client not only a unified front. The marketing team's going to learn a ton of stuff from this, and it's, you know, you're bringing an extra person in. You're bringing in your heavy hitting marketing team for the.
Your creative force.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. You want to establish a set of rules ahead of time, and they don't necessarily have to be rules, but like if you are sending leads, you know, we like to have a follow-up in a certain period of time. I'm not going to say how fast that should be, but establish a time to follow up with leads. And once that's set, you know, everyone will be on the same page. Also, keep refining processes. And I know internally we do it. We track our sales and marketing, and we constantly refine how we track it, and we're going to do that again and again and again. Don't ever set it and forget it to get to the end means. You want to always look at a way, as like we said before, Joe just said this with employees, even if you feel like you're good at doing something, you want to continue to reinvent how you do that, and tracking the leads is a big deal. And those are five tips. So, questions?
How good would you say salespeople are at follow-up on leads in general? I mean, not here at ASI, but just from what you've heard.
Well, not naming names.
At ASI, they're wonderful.
I'm sure.
Absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I know because we hear all the time with trade shows. Salespeople get tons of leads there. And, you know, a surprisingly shocking amount of them do not follow up on leads. And I'm not talking just in the industry, but in the trade show world in general, you know, salespeople are not always, they don't always have a stellar reputation for following up.
I'd say the biggest thing to do is, and instead of pointing fingers and saying we don't follow up or we do, is set a thing that you're going to do every single time there's a trade show. And what I would say is make it as easy as possible. You know, you come back from a trade show wiped, you don't feel like doing it, set up a generic email that goes out to everybody that you met that says I'll be in touch with you, and set a time when you'll get in touch with them, or have a postcard ready to go, or have something set that you hit and send immediately when you get back.
Yeah, that's a good point. I just got an email 2 weeks ago from a supplier that I stopped in and saw in San Diego, and they thanked me for stopping by and seeing them in San Diego, which
was in
May.
Okay. That's a good point. When I did the luncheon in Chicago, four suppliers and distributors were on the panel. The one thing all four distributors said was, if you don't follow up with me in 5 days after a show, don't bother, because I need that information now because I have sales in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you just to talk to you. I really need the information. I really need the samples. Get back to me as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. I also really enjoy the pre-show check-in where the supplier or if a distributor is exhibiting at a trade show, they get a hold of that pre-show registration list and send out an email or send out a postcard saying, hey, stop by and see me.
Right.
This is my booth number. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of those when I attend shows, and I love them, and I make sure to stop by the ones that I'm interested in.
And a lot of suppliers I notice these days, too, like we were talking about Facebook and Twitter, they're posting, like, stop by our booth and get a free whatever, you know, free sample, blah, 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 on Facebook. So that's a good route to take, too.
And, you know, though we say, you know, suppliers are notorious for not following up at trade shows, the ones that I see who do follow up do it really quickly. Like, you, I mean, a lot of them you see, you know, they'll jot down something quickly and maybe, you know, every few hours or in the evenings they take and just follow up then so that it's fresh in their minds, which is even better to get an email before you even get home from the show from a supplier you've met. And, you know, because that is unique, people are definitely going to remember that.
Mm-hmm. And you can keep, you know, with the... And I just got a smartphone, so we'll put it out there. But with your smartphone,
congratulations!
You can almost have your follow up set to go instantly. As soon as you meet someone, you can just punch their email in and send them something immediately. So they may not even leave the show before they come back again to place an order.
Yeah, then that's impressive.
That's impressive.
It is.
It is.
All right, we are wrapping up. Michelle, you've been on the trade show floor. Anything interesting you find?
Yes, iClick and Graphco Line are both having amazing shows, and the people at Putty World say hello. So somebody is listening, and they're going to send us samples.
Yay. Putty World. That's awesome. All right. Any last minute news from the trade show floor? Looks like it's bustling.
It's bustling. It's bustling.
You can register at www.asicentral.com/VTS.
And it's going on until what time
10
today?
10 to 3 today.
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern Time. Although we won't lock you out at 3. So if you get in, you know, at like 2:58 and you want to take some time, you can still be browsing.
Best to come early so you can take advantage of education and all of our offerings. Again, the URL is?
www.asicentral.com/VTS.
All right, check out our biggest virtual trade show ever today. Thanks very much for tuning in, and check us out at our regular time next Tuesday at 10:30 Eastern Time. Have a great show.